You are listening to On Further Review.
On Further Review is a conversation that uncovers the fascinating details of the most remarkable sporting events. Events you grew up watching and maybe a couple you've never heard of before.
Join our discussion of upsets, dynasties, and how one event can be the difference between being a footnote and being a legend. This is On Further Review. Welcome back to On Further Review. We kind of take this small little segment just to get us ready for some bowl season, right?
Got it's the most wonderful time of the year, in my opinion.
It's just awesome.
It's fun.
It's fun and it's sad at the same time because it feels like not that long ago the college football season started, right?
Yeah.
And then it goes by in such a flash. But this is really cool. Like I love all the bowl games. I love the random Tuesday or Wednesday night stuff. I know your alma mater gets to kick it off with Toledo Middle Tennessee State, and but just all the teams that have winning records, but sometimes sometimes that's waived in certain cases. But all the teams that have put in the work during the season and able to play bowl games, and I think too, having sports back after a year of with fans, after a year of not having fans, just kind of feels special. The fan bases, the parents, the students that get to travel to, exotic places like the Duke Mayo Bowl, different, I think I saw Jimmy Kimmel has like a bowl game.
Yeah, I saw that. Jimmy Kimmel's a bowl
game. LA bowl game or something. Yeah. I always laugh at the sponsors, but it's good. It's a good time for us as viewers, myself as a fan of football betting. Obviously there's a lot of teams. That part has become trickier over the years more recently because all the different opt-outs, players, geez, it seems like every week coaches are moving from one school to another. So, you don't know who's on the sideline from the coaches down to some of the players. If they have any sort of NFL, seems like if they have any sort of NFL interest in the players, they wind up sitting out. Man, as a viewer, I hate it. Like as somebody that enjoys the sport, I hate the fact that if you're in, the Alamo Bowl or like I said, the Duke Mayo Bowl or something like that, that it's just not a good enough reason to get it up and suit up with your teammates sometimes. And I just feel like it creates this weird, I guess it doesn't matter because you're moving on to the NFL, but it creates this weird dynamic between the players that are playing and the players that opt out or decide not to. I don't know how you feel about it. I mean, I get it.
If you're in the game of football, there's a concern of safety, right?
Always
I get it.
Chance.
There's a concern of safety, but there's all you're playing a game where people hit each other. You're going to get injured, right? And really, in the last day of your career, you're going to somehow have a cautious bone in your body, even though you've been playing with, reckless abandon and aggressiveness your entire career, and now all of a sudden you'll be cautious at the biggest stage right before our draft. I've not looked the stats at this. I don't know. I'm just going to go off the cuff because I haven't looked at any kind of data to really examine this, but whether or not there is an actual longevity to the careers of those who opt out, whether or not their draft stock actually stays the same or goes up or down. I'd be curious about those different types of things to see whether or not it's actually worth it. I would be curious if draft stock actually decreased because you didn't play.
Right. Yeah. You'd wonder. I think the NFL.
And plus, unless you're a guaranteed number one pick overall,
right,
or you're guaranteed to be a first round draft pick, no matter what, get your ass out there and play because you don't know what could happen. If you get out there and play, you could put on a put on a tape out there. There goes your draft stock. It goes, you have one more game to be able to show, what you can do. And there's only so much tape that's out there on you. There's only so many scouts that look at you. That's one more opportunity to get eyes on you.
It's always weird to me that what you said made me think of it. It's always weird to me that these professional athletes, right? I don't think there's a single professional athlete or single collegiate athlete that doesn't think that they're really good, or maybe even hyperbolically think they're the best.
Sure.
So it's always weird to me that this decision is definitely based more on the fear of what could possibly happen rather than what you're saying of like the ability to show off your skills. I don't know. It's always been kind of interesting to me that like the ego doesn't take over enough to be like, I'll be fine. I can get through it. I don't know. I think of like a 17-week NFL game season and how nobody's healthy by week 8, you know, and wondering, like, a player that makes that type of decision, are they going to play through, you know, every football player plays through pain, but are they going to play through something, you know, down the stretch when you really need them, or even when you don't need them, when your team is, you know, 5-10 or something to start the year in the NFL, like, is that player going to really still give you his all? And you hope so. I mean, when the money enters in and the job aspect of it enters in, maybe you hope that that player will still go. Again, I like the fact that players have little autonomy. I like the fact that players can make the decisions for themselves. It's just not a decision that I would make. And probably one that's tough for me to, like, really respect, but I understand it for sure.
Yeah. I think it's a good point. I think that players should have the option to do this.
Right.
Right. I have no problem with them exercising the option, with doing something like that. No issue with that whatsoever.
Yeah.
But if just because you have the option, that doesn't mean I'm not criticizing your decision. Of course, right. You know, if you make that decision, I reserve the right to critique it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I'll be honest, it probably does alter, like, the ultimate product of the bowl games. For me personally, it doesn't stop me from watching. So I'll watch the kid that's taking that place anyways. You know, like, I'll still watch the ones that I feel like are probably greatly affected are the New Year's Six games that are not playoff games, right? So it's teams like the I'm looking forward to Ohio State, Utah. I think that should be an awesome match. But we'll see how many players, you know, that started and put up good stats this year, specifically on the Ohio State side, but probably on the Utah side too. We'll see how many players, you know, might opt out. You know, you got games coming up like Kentucky, Iowa. I don't know. Sometimes it's kind of like atmosphere, or not atmosphere, but what's the word I'm looking for? A culture of different programs too, or different staffs and stuff. Where it seems like some of these guys, like the Kentucky Iowa game, I'm pretty confident that might maybe be missing like 3 or 4 players at most. Most of those guys are probably going to suit up. What it does for me though, it does make me enjoy games like Toledo, Middle Tennessee, you know, games like Eastern Michigan, Liberty, the Lending Tree Bowl. It makes me, you know, interested. Down here, there, Tulsa made a bowl game against Old Dominion, the Myrtle Beach Bowl. And those are the ones that I feel like I do tune into with a little more interest sometimes, because those teams, I know, like, those seniors on those teams, like, this could be their last chance to play type of thing, you know, to suit it up one more time. And like the Tulsa, Old Dominion, both of them are like 6-6. So they just barely qualify for a bowl game. So you do get that, like, really happy to be here and to prove something type of matchups. And that's what I love about bowl games. I love the fact that, you know, for seniors, one more chance to prove it. I love the fact for teams that maybe weren't in national spotlights to have an opportunity to have a national spotlight and, you know, go up against another team from the opposite side of the country sometimes and go at it. College football has become such a national sport. I think we've talked about that before, it's no longer quite as regionally fixed as it used to be. I mean, it used to be like the Rose Bowl was the only time you really saw Big Ten play Pac-10. Or Pac-10 back in the day, but
Pac-12 now,
you know, those champs would face off at the Rose Bowl. They always did, the granddaddy of them all. And and it was like the first time you got to see, like, what if Michigan played Washington State? What if USC played Ohio State? What if Wisconsin had a chance against UCLA? Like, how would that match up? Like, those types of things. I've just always enjoyed those. So I love bowl season. It's one of those that week, like Christmas to New Year's, is one I've always thought would be awesome to take in Vegas and just to like a sports book bar or something and just enjoy the, because some of these games have crazy endings. Some of the ones that like aren't the national championship or aren't the playoff games, like maybe huge stakes on the line, they still have, I forget what bowl it is. There's one bowl game that I think like the last 3 or 4 years have just had crazy finishes, it seems. And it's a culmination of the season. It's a culmination of, you know, athletic careers for a lot of guys and teams as composed, you know, each year. It's an ending or a farewell, kind of going off on the right foot into next year type of thing. Some guys that might be returning. I love it. So I do. I find that for myself anyways, I am looking forward to, aside from the playoff games. So we've got Bama versus Cincinnati. And then we've got Michigan against Georgia. Mm-hmm. And I think the majority of the country is worried that we're going to get Bama versus Georgia in the national championship, which is very possible. But I think what Michigan's been doing, I'm weirdly enough most interested in the Michigan-Georgia game between the two semifinals. I'm curious to see what Cincinnati does. I just have a feeling they're going to get.
I think I would be surprised if Cincinnati scores north of 20 points, and if the final scores within 20 points. I see that as a 41-17 game.
Yeah.
I think it's just going to be
Which is no knock against the group of five, because guess what?
And it's no knock against Cincinnati. Bama did that to Michigan State.
Bama did that to Washington in semifinals. Like,
yep.
Since he deserved everything to get there, I don't see how they match up super well.
Yeah, I think Alabama's just the better team. I don't think no knock in Cincinnati. I think it's even if you put who's their candidates in there. If you put
like the Baylor, Oklahoma State, so they lost Notre Dame. Yeah.
I think it's the same score.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Michigan Georgia game is interesting. Yeah, I have a similar feeling with Michigan and Georgia. I don't think it's going to be close. I think Georgia's going to run away with it.
Do you really? Okay.
Yeah.
See, I saw in the Georgia Bama game, it's weird because I think we were on opposite sides going into Georgia Bama. I thought Georgia would manhandle them a little bit. And I know you were really high on not counting out Bama, which you were 100% correct.
Well, it's the SEC championship game. That's the annual game that Alabama is guaranteed to win.
That's
the
true,
SEC
too.
Does, so,
like, that's absolutely that true. One. Yeah. But the biggest thing to me was like how they got bullied around. I felt like the week before in the Iron Bowl, Auburn pushed Bama around, and I thought Georgia was going to do the same to them, and it turned it completely on its head. Granted, in the first half of Bama-Georgia, they hit, I think it was like three plays that were really good, but all three happened to be touchdowns. For Bama, just hitting some deep shots to Williams and stuff. And so I wonder if that lingers or if Georgia comes back and kind of reasserts dominance, because the thing about Michigan is they pushed around Ohio State and then they kept that momentum rolling into just bullying Iowa in the Big Ten championship. Well,
Iowa's easy to bull.
I mean fair. They have zero offense. So
it's not like I think the key to, when we're watching the Ohio State Michigan game, I told a guy this, that look, Ohio State is a pretty team. They have a lot of, it's just they're just a very pretty team, right?
Yeah. Maybe more finesse.
Exactly. They got a lot of talent. Not take away their talent. They got a lot of talent. They got a great record. But I said if you punch them in the mouth, I think they're going to go down.
Yeah.
And that's what Michigan did, right? I think Michigan just punched in the mouth and control the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball.
Right.
You'll see whether they had the patience to do it with Georgia, whether or not they can do it. I don't think they're going to be able to punch Georgia in the mouth as much as they did for Ohio State.
Sure.
Georgia's already been punched in the mouth. They know what it feels like. They know how to cover it now. Ohio State never had been punched in the mouth.
Right.
And to your point about what Alabama did to Georgia versus what happened during the Iron Bowl, you got to throw those rivalry games out the window.
That's true.
You got to toss them out the window. Those ones don't matter. That's like Packers Bears coming up here. Oklahoma, Texas. It's a different game. You got to just treat it as a different game.
That's a very good point. Yeah.
So all that to say, I don't know. I'm not high in Michigan in this one.
Gotcha. Yeah. I'll be curious.
Plus Jim Harbaugh needs to lose the big game. He's due it every single year. So
I mean he definitely overcame two huge hurdles, and it'd be amazing if he overcame a third, like the Ohio State thing. But to win that one, and then honestly, like you said, to get the draw of Iowa over Wisconsin, because Wisconsin's failure to retain the Paul Bunyan axe, still upset about that.
I think
Wisconsin would have given Michigan more of a fight than Iowa for sure. It's easy to say that now, but I do feel that way. I felt that way going into it. Yeah. And maybe we would have had a better test for Michigan. So there could be a little bit of hubris.
I think we had a better defense than Iowa did.
Yeah, I think so too. Our offense was clicking better too. Our offenses were going directly different ways since the midpoint of the season, where Wisconsin was finding their run game and creating some offense with Mertz when we were struggling. And then Iowa was almost only scoring off of defensive plays towards the end of the year. So that was going to be a tough hill for Iowa to climb. It'll be interesting to see. I mean, I feel I feel like maybe Michigan might be a little overvalued, and then naturally Georgia a little undervalued after getting beat by Bama. I think that Georgia would give Bama a better, like you said, it's the SEC championship game. It's the game that Bama has to win or supposed to win. I'd be interested to see Georgia getting another crack at Bama. I'm not one of those people that would hate to see a rematch of the two of them. I think that that would be a really good game. I think those are two really good teams. I really feel like it's a no lose situation when it comes to the college football playoff this year, because if Bama gets in, I'd love to see Bama versus either Georgia or Michigan. Like I like everybody. Mm-hmm. I'm sick of seeing Bama win everything, but they're really good. And so to have a national championship without a really good team seems like a waste. I don't want a dud of a championship game. Not saying that we get that from Cincinnati, because if Cincinnati found a way to get into the playoff championship game, that would be historical, monumental. Luke Fickell would probably be up for the Houston Texans job. Who knows? I'm not reporting anything. I'm just saying he would be like the savior of some franchise. He'd probably have to go somewhere. That would be incredible. Incredible. Obviously, they'd make a Disney movie or a 30 for 30 about Cincinnati if they knock off Bama and get to the championship. But either Bama, you know, projecting Bama beat Cincinnati as we have, you know, them against Georgia in a rematch, I think would be a bit more competitive than the SEC championship game. And then them against Michigan would be an interesting game as well. To me, these are the four most deserving teams. So I think we always argue about that. We always, because there's five power conferences and four teams get in, and this year, not even, you know, three spots for power conferences.
And only two power conferences got in.
And got in out of those three spots. But so this was one of those years where I feel like even the argument for others was weaker than it has been in past years. I think this year, these four teams, if you're trying to be objective, maybe you throw in a fifth of like Baylor versus Georgia's, you know, resume, but I don't think they got it wrong. I think these are the correct four teams.
No, if you're going to have a fake playoff like this, this is the way to do the fake playoff.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So so congratulations. You've ruined it again.
Right.
What do you think about the number of bowl games? Are you a fan of that? You're not a fan of that? To me, the more the merrier. You could add.
I'm on the
same
boat.
You could add 10 more bowl games. Yep. Call it the Cricket Maker bowl game. Call it the Dell Laptop bowl. I'm just literally just naming things off around my table over here. Like you can name it whatever you want to name it. Have a bowl game.
Exactly.
Three and seven teams in there. I don't give a damn. Just
right.
Play more football.
See, I draw the line a little bit at you have to have, I love football, so the more the merrier. I do like the fact of at least having a 500 or better record, though, because to me, it's like this should be some sort of reward for a season well fought. If you finish, you know, 500 or better, like this is an awesome reward. And like you get to go, I was joking about someplace exotic, like I think they play a game in like Yankee Stadium or some other stuff.
Fenway
too,
Park.
Yeah, Fenway, right, they do. Yep. I'm with you. The more games, the merrier. I think the ones I'm looking forward to outside of the playoffs and maybe like the New Year's Six, I mentioned, you know, Utah, Ohio State. I am curious about that. Granted, I've only seen them play Oregon because I feel like that's the only ones I've actually tuned into a full Utah game. Man, did they just manhandle them twice.
Both times too, yeah.
And I'm curious to see what happens against Ohio State, because our latest memory of Ohio State's getting manhandled by Michigan. Will any players be out? That type of thing. I am curious about that one. Baylor, Ole Miss. I'm curious about that one a little bit too. You know, Lane Kiffin getting into a New Year's Six. Baylor, Dave Aranda's done an incredible job with them. Curious to see what that shakeup looks like. I'm also curious on the rudderless ship bowl game. That's not an official sponsor of Oregon versus Oklahoma, as both organizations or schools are kind of changing gears with their head coaching. I mean,
interesting matchup.
They're not quite to the abandoned ship Clemson level yet, but two programs that are probably changing a little bit of like their DNA and their not DNA, but they're just their direction as, you know, as Oregon kind of sorts through. I've been hearing Chip Kelly's name thrown around and stuff. Obviously Oklahoma bringing in Venables from Dabo Sweeney's staff and back home for Venables and some staff there for Oklahoma. That'll be an interesting one to see. That could be just kind of a Wild West game with Stoops on the call for Oklahoma. Just, you know, what players are going to still be there from both squads? Who's entering the transfer portal? You know, the way people make it sound, you think, you know, will they be able to field a team? But it'll be fine, and it'll be fun to see the kids there that are still there kind of duke that one out a little bit. I'll be interested for obvious reasons with fandom on the OU side, but just in general, some of these schools that have had this crazy turmoil or off season already, still with a bowl game to play.
So. Yeah, we've had the coaching carousel's in full gear right now. So how does Notre Dame do in the New Year's Six bowls? How does, you mentioned Oklahoma and Oregon, how do these teams do? How does USC do? How does LSU fare? And so it adds a different type of dilemma to this.
Right. Like I said, it's a results-based business. So if they win, it'll be a promise of things to come. And if they lose, it'll be rebuilding. So it will be intriguing to see. And as we go into the bowl season or the holiday season, AKA the bowl season, growing up, it was one of my favorite traditions. We'd put out finger food, usually on New Year's Day, sometimes New Year's Eve, depending on how the bowl games shook out. And I just remember, you know, our poor mother just putting all that food out, and like I would run out to the dining room where the spread was, and I'd load up my plate, and then I'd run back to the living room where the TV was. Like, hey mom, on the way to her from, you know, my poor mother slaving away while all the boys and our sister as well just watched a bunch of college football. So it's one of my favorite memories is making that like an event. And that's something that my wife and I have done as well with her love of college.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah. I love the finger food and just kind of binge out, watching these bowl games. But I do, I love, because like you were saying, the more games, the merrier. I love like Virginia, SMU, West Virginia, Minnesota, Louisville Air Force in the first responder bowl. Teams like East Carolina, Boston College play each other, Western Michigan, Nevada, Ball State, Georgia State. Like these, I'm just scrolling through the list of bowl games here upcoming. Oregon State, Utah State, you know, teams like that, teams that we don't get to see a lot too, just because there's so much college football each Saturday. I love it. And like I said, at kind of the top of this, I love like the random Thursday night where you're just like, oh yeah, there's football on, you know, besides the NFL, or Tuesday night, yeah, you know,
exactly.
And especially around that New Year's holiday,
sit down and watch games from noon to midnight. Really, you can, yeah, you know, it's full 12 hours of football after football after football.
Exactly. From Odd Further Review to you and your fan base and your family, you know, just wishing you and your fan bases the best of luck. It'll be fun to watch. It'll be fun to bet on. It'll be fun to just kind of consume.
Exactly. Happy bowl season.